Howdy, folks.
Welcome to the September 24th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm Uncle Bill.
I'm a creepy Kentuckian. How's everybody doing out there, daggone it? You ready to get crunked?
It's time to get crunked and time to get eel and time to get about it and rat it.
That's right. We got our good buddy Conan. We're going to have him for a special interview a little bit later on.
The Barbarian or Conan from WCW?
Conan from WCW. Oh, the lady!
That guy sucked. I didn't realize like how much he sucked until I watched WCW.
What's funny is I used to always listen to the show when WCW was on called WCW Live, and it came on like every week after. I think it was a weekly or it was a daily thing for a while. Like, you remember that boom period from like 98 to 2000
mm-hmm.
where like it was fucking everywhere. They had, Dave Meltzer had his, wrestling show every day of the week for 2 hours a day. And WCW Live was every day for, I think, an hour or 2 hours. And they'd always get, Conan on there after Nitro or something. And Conan is one of those guys that talks so fast and nonstop that he sounds like he can barely breathe. He's like, you know what I mean? I'm going to go out there and I throw and you know, nonstop.
Wasn't he a commentator for a while too, on WCW or something?
Yeah, but it's like that's the one thing I remember about Conan, other than the fact that he sucked, is he just like he always sounded like he was out of breath because he was talking way too fast than he physically should, I guess.
Yeah, he was a douche.
Oh, don't say that. Yeah. So, anyway, interesting show this week. Don't really have any main topic. We are going to be taking your phone calls though, discussing Dexter, which is interesting. I don't think we've ever done that before.
And Backwoods Slashers as well, though.
You getting your tongue ready for my ass over there?
Yeah.
The reason we're talking about those is because we are actually reviewing Dexter Season 4, as well as
Madman.
Well, the new 35th anniversary.
Oh, my Lord.
35th anniversary. Getting ready.
Yeah, interesting thing about the Madman release. As it turns out, I believe it is going to be Code Red's very last DVD.
Wait, has there been new developments about that?
Well, I mean, they basically closed up shop. Their website is primarily linking to all the DVDs that are out, and that is it.
But that was one of the sorriest operations, though. I don't even understand how that existed for as long as it did.
Yeah, because it was around for at least, 3 or 4 years?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, we had high hopes initially because the first two releases, or the first couple of, initial releases, was Don't Go in the Woods Alone and The Forest, which I'm a major supporter of both of those films, but they started getting releasing stuff like I'd never heard of, Night of the Dribbler and shit like that. I'm like,
well,
what the fuck
not only were they releasing like horrible stuff, but they also started to be real dickheads about like screeners. And he was saying he's going to file lawsuits against people that didn't like take the movie and review it in a certain amount of time and all this stuff. It's just, in hindsight, we probably should have known when we interviewed them. As we were really excited about them putting out those releases.
You know,
interviews are like,
we should actually put up the, because a lot of people have been complaining lately that, the archives are down from like 2000, from the first time we started all the way to 2008. And we did that for space issues, but I want to try to put up the show that we did with Bill Olson, the guy from Code Red, is like a bonus
thing
on the main page because it's so fucking funny.
There was a guy we interviewed before him, though, too, that was some sort of assistant. He didn't know shit about anything that was going on.
Well, the thing is, that guy was primarily just helping out. I don't think he was getting... I think everyone knew after a while that if you were working for Code Red, it was one of those deals where you're sort of just volunteering because you're not going to get paid anything. But,
somebody made some sort of amount of money. I don't know who.
The guy that run it did, bro. That's about it. But anyway, we are going to go through the news of the week, and we might as well go ahead and get started. I think the biggest news topic of the week would have to be the announcement of the new Rob Zombie film, The Lords of Salem, Uncle Bill. I don't know if you've looked up a whole lot about this.
Yeah, I have, actually.
The Deadline website reported that Zombie has committed to make The Lords of Salem as his next directorial outing. The film has been put together by Haunted Films, the company run by Paranormal Activity and Insidious team of Jason Blum, Steven Schneider, and Oren Peli. It also said that Andy Gould also produced all of Zombies films and is also producing with Jeremy Platt as the co-producer. It's a thriller set in contemporary Salem where the inhabitants receive a demonic visit from a 300-year-old coven of witches. Zombie will write the script while on his upcoming concert tour and will shoot sometime next year. Zombie told the website that he originally hatched the Salem premise several years ago, but started stirring the cauldron once again when he changed his plan to remake The Blob. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good move to actually make a film that isn't a remake right now for him. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I'm going to give this one a shot. I think that, it's his first original film since Devil's Rejects, which I really enjoy the Devil's Rejects. I think if you let the guy go and do what he wants to do with an original project, it could, at the very least, it'd be interesting to see, I think.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'd actually much prefer him to do something like this other than do the Blob remake, yeah, which is next.
Yeah.
I never in my mind could visualize how the hell he was going to do a movie like that and make it any kind of entertaining or anything like that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're at the point now where remakes, it doesn't fucking really matter if it's a remake or not, because all the big films have been done. Okay, The Blob was a major movie that came out in the 50s.
Yeah.
The original was remade again in the 80s. It probably does have some name value with older fans. I'm guessing fans of the original film, maybe some fans of the remake. But it's not like, it's not going to make money just based on the name. And that's what a lot of people are failing to realize. You've already done all those movies. The ones that the name value alone is going to make you a lot of money, you know.
Yeah. Did you mention, though, that this is like a three-picture deal thing with this Haunted Movies and Alliance nonsense?
Yeah, he's going to make Lords of Salem 1, 2, and 3. It's a three-part chapter.
No.
I don't know. No, I didn't see that.
It's the first picture is a film called Insidious, which is written and directed by the original Saw team of James Wan and Lee Whannell. And it stars Patrick Wilson, and it recently premiered apparently at the Toronto Film Festival, and it's going to be a major motion picture, but right now it's in like the developmental stages. They're trying to get it sold into like, I believe, Sony. And the second picture is called The Bay, which is helmed by Barry Levinson and currently shooting in South Carolina. And Zombies picture will be actually the third picture that's from this Haunted Movies Alliance bullshit. So I'm not exactly sure how that works out, but.
Yeah, well,
they're kind of a big deal now.
He's in the early stages as far as just writing the script, looks like to me. I mean, so we'll just have to wait and see. It's going to be a long ways away. It looks like at least a couple of years before this one comes out. So
deal with that, player. The Exorcist on Blu-ray. Have you seen this? This fucking thing looks pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah.
William Friedkin's masterpiece is coming to Blu-ray in a two-disc must-have high-definition set with a booklet. It's actually like a little mini book, which is about 30 pages long. I was looking at it. And it's available October the 5th from Warner Home Video.
October 5th.
Check it out.
Yeah, I mean, for those, I will eventually do a video because I've gotten a bunch of those Blu-ray digibooks things in, and those things are fucking awesome because much like the way a lot of the deluxe LP records were in the day that had the liner notes and it was a book inside and stuff like that, these Blu-ray books are much like that. A lot, I think it's a classy package, and yeah, I'm totally getting that. I don't know if they'll send it any copies to us to review, but I'm buying that fucking thing. Just, that's fucking awesome. And there's another one I actually want to get in the same vein of that, as that one is, Seven, which is already out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Walmart has it in the regular case, but it also has a one of those Blu-ray Digibook cases, too.
Yeah, the more I watch The Exorcist, though, the more that that movie grows on me. I've liked it more and more the more times I've seen
yeah.
it.
And the awesome thing about that is, too, I think that it features both versions of the movie in that Blu-ray.
I mean, it also has the version you've never seen.
The version you didn't see 10 years ago.
Oh, shit.
Let's talk about Spider 3D, Uncle Bill. I'm looking forward to it. Because the voluptuous Krista Campbell, baby, is set to star in Spider 3D for new image. Tibor Takacs, the guy that brought us I'm Madman, and this little movie called The Gate, maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah, you might have heard that one. Didn't he do The Gate 2 as well?
Yeah, The Gate 2, I've been waiting. is directing the Nature Run Amok Tale, and shooting is said to begin next month in Bulgaria. What the fuck is it about all these movies that are shot in Bulgaria?
Must be cheap. Must be some sort of tax shelter or something over there.
Campbell evidently is going to go up against a new species of poisonous spider that is discovered in the caves of Afghanistan, baby, and makes its way to New York City where it mutates to gigantic proportions and wreaks havoc on the entire city.
Well, son of a bitch.
It'll be cool, though. Since, you know, WWE films, Legendary, sucked ass.
Yeah, I haven't even seen it yet.
Well, I mean, in the theater it did. We'll review it. We've got to review that.
Do we?
Yeah, I've got to fucking see it. And it seems like they're going to do these more comedy or family-oriented movies, which is stupid for WWE. It's a fucking wrestling organization. I got an idea. I got a plot for you here, okay? You know how they do the tribute to the troops?
Yeah.
Okay. Have a storyline where it is wrestling. Okay, I don't know who would star in this. I don't know who'd be good to star. Maybe The Undertaker. The Undertaker would be a good star in it. Where they go off to Afghanistan. They sometimes go to Afghanistan, don't they? Go to Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever. And mix the spider thing in with that. So while they're there in Afghanistan, there is an attack by a mutated spider. Or even change it up a little bit. Maybe, have you seen the promos for Shocktopus? Shocktopus?
No. Yeah. Shocktopus is an awesome name.
That's like Shocktopus. That'd be a good one, too. Shocktopus.
It's like a jellyfish mixed with an octopus. It's a Shocktopus. It fucking kills you.
If anybody from sci-fi is listening, they'll make it. I'm sure
that movie will be coming out next month.
But there was, there is a movie actually called Shocktopus that's coming out. I don't know if you've seen it. It is a mix. The creature's mixed between a shark and an octopus.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. It's Shocktopus.
I think it's coming on this Saturday on sci-fi. I'm looking forward to seeing that. But anyway, mix like a monster movie with WWE. That'd be hilarious. Maybe you could even have John Cena star in it. No, I know. Dash and Cody Rhodes could be the hero in it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Here's something I never thought would be happening on here. And I think I brought this up a couple of months back, that there's going to be a new Hellraiser movie. And you always talking about Doug Bradley would shit his pants to be in it and all this. Well, guess what? Stephen Smith Collins will take over as the Cenobite Pinhead in the upcoming horror sequel Hellraiser Revelations from Dimension Films. It's not going to be Doug Bradley. Doug Bradley's not going to be Pinhead in the
Doug
new
Bradley's
Hellraiser.
Upset. He's one upset Englishman right now.
He's like, hey, old fucking mate.
Damn fucking cold fucking bites.
Stephen Smith Collins, you suck my ass, you good. The story has two friends, Nico and Steve, unleashing Pinhead while on a sightseeing trip through Mexico. When Steve skips out on his deal with the hellish denizen, he must swap himself with one of his own family members.
The hellish Jezebel.
Jezebel with a, what in the hell? We ask this about every 6 months, but Miko's dead, apparently. She's been murdered by Peruvian drug lords.
It could have been. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I miss Miko, though. She still is at least in the top two hottest females ever, like our show.
She did, in fact, lose our number.
Yep, she did. But, hey, we're willing to strike up a deal with Miko. She can broadcast shit on her YouTube channel if she comes back. We'll welcome her back with open arms. And as I'm wrapping my arms around her, one of my arms will go a little bit lower, you know, stuff like that. then she'll start to get creeped up. That's how I roll.
Because you're creepy as fuck, yeah.
But anyway, we're going to take a break. We've got a couple more news topics to get to. And we'll be back here on DeadBear.com.
Welcome to Oakwood Hospital, where pleasure is the best medicine. We're the Candy Stripe Nurses, and we operate best in private rooms.
Do you sleep with every guy that asks you?
Now, what is the matter with you? Don't you ever get turned on?
Candy Stripe Nurses, the new motion picture that lays bare the after-hours operations of the girls in red and white. In the sheets or on the streets, they're volunteers for action.
Ooh, playing doctor was never so stimulating.
What are you doing?
Candy Stripe Nurses. They're young, they're eager, they're horizontal, and their bedroom care is real intensive. So for fast relief, take two Candy Stripe Nurses and go straight to bed. Candy Stripe Nurses. From New World Pictures, in color.
Rated R.
Hey, this is Tom Matthews. I played Freddy in Return of the Living Dead, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Howdy, all folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. How you doing, Uncle Boo?
I'm good.
You getting your text messages in the last 15 minutes?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Wow.
One really interesting thing that I wanted to mention on here, and it actually is enticing me even more, to go see Saw 3D.
Oh, shit.
Saw 3D. Now, the synopsis is, as a deadly battle rages over Jigsaw's brutal legacy, a group of Jigsaw survivors gathers to see the support of a self-help guru and fellow survivor, Bobby Dagan.
Bobby Dagan.
Sounds like a 50s rock singer or something. Whose own dark secrets unleash a new wave of terror. The first theatrical feature to be shot exclusively on the cutting-edge SI3D digital camera system. Ooh! They're highfalutin' motherfuckers over there. Saw 3D brings the horrifying games of Jigsaw to life like never before. And there's a bunch of new stills online. One, in fact, featuring Carrie Elwes, who also returns as Dr. Lawrence Gordon. From the first movie.
He's the one to call Dr. Lawrence Gordon. He's the one to make you feel alright. He's the one to call Dr. Lawrence Gordon. He's going to kick your ass tonight.
Yeah. So they're fucking pulling all the stops here to make the supposedly the last Saw sequel the best.
Seriously. There ain't nothing's going to make that movie worth a shit.
They're going to bring Danny Glover back. They killed Danny Glover. I don't even remember.
I think they killed him in the first one, didn't they?
Bring his corpse back.
The corpse of Danny Glover. Yeah. You know the thing, the way that they do on Saw, though. If you can be dead, they'll still bring you back to the damn movie because there's like 15 degrees.
Yeah, they'll bring him back in a videotape that was up Jigsaw's ass.
One of the microfilm that was hidden in his dick hole.
Yeah, they have an SD card that they can just pull right out of his dick hole and play. Play the video on it. Doctor's like, how the fuck did he get that out of here?
Like, we found a snake on his dick hole.
Yeah. I'm sure, like, if they were smart when Jigsaw originally died, they should have just x-rayed him and see where all his little videos and shit, where all the orifices he stuck them fucking videos and memory cards and all that shit. They'd be like, God damn! This motherfucker really planned all this shit out.
I should have brought this up, though, this next story, when we were talking about Rob Zombie before, but...
Zombie!
Rob Zombie is currently collaborating with Universal Studios Hollywood to create a new 3D maze called Rob Zombie's House of 1,000 Corpses in 3D Zombie Vision as part of Universal's annual Halloween Horror Nights. According to a press release, fans will be treated to a nightmarish world of carnage and chaos, Rob Zombie style, based upon Zombie's cult hit film, House of a Thousand Corpses. Ooh. The attraction is one of five mazes based on popular horror movies at the event. Of course, that kicks off today, actually, in Universal Studios.
Some of them, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And runs through the end of October. And
there's actually quite a few people that love going to the Halloween Horror Nights every year. It's like a tradition.
Yeah, there's actually some people we know from school that are going to that shit.
Yee.
I was surprised.
Also, last thing I got on here, Severn Films announced a January 25th, 2011 release date of Alejandro Jodorowsky. And, I think Lady Gaga has a new song out about Alejandro Jodorowsky.
He does. She does. He does.
It could be him.
Whatever it is, does.
The internationally acclaimed film, Santa Sangre, which I have actually heard about that movie, comes out on DVD and Blu-ray that day, January 25th. It's a 1989 production, rarely seen in the United States since its theatrical release. The Blu-ray and DVD features a restored print of the film's European version, as well as over 5 hours of bonus material, baby!
Bonus!
In addition, Jodorowsky will be honored by the Museum of Art and Design for his first ever American retrospective. The series called Blood into Gold, The Cinematic Alchemy of Alejandro Jodorowsky. Try saying that 6 times quick.
No.
The Cinematic Alchemy of Alejandro Jodorowsky, baby. Woo! That's the name of it. Woo! I'm out of breath now. Runs from September 23rd to October 8th and will feature the 81-year-old Chilean-born filmmaker, playwright, graphic artist, and shaman. He's the shaman of sexy. In attendance to conduct the rare master class on his films and philosophy. Now, the movie itself features Blanca Guerra, Guy Stockwell, and the filmmaker's sons, Axel and Aiden Jodorowsky.
Really? Can you name fuckers Axel?
Welcome to Jodorowsky! star in the surreal epic about a young circus performer and the crime of passion that shatters his soul, along with the macabre journey back to the world of his armless mother and deaf-mute lover. Man, that, you think you're fucked up, Uncle Bill. Listen to that shit.
I don't think I'm fucked up. What are you talking about?
Buddy, you wearing khaki pants when you're doing dead bitch. That ain't right.
That's how I roll, buddy.
The bonus features on the Blu-ray and 2-disc DVD include deleted scenes, domestic and international trailers, and an audio commentary with Jodorowsky, multiple documentaries, new on-camera interviews with the majority of the film's cast and crew, and coverage of Jodorowsky's forthcoming New York City appearances. A complete list of extras as well as preview clips will be posting. They will be posted soon on SantaSangreFilm.com. So you can look forward to that. And Severn Films is a interesting little company that always find these obscure movies released. So sounds interesting enough. So we'll definitely have to check that one out when it comes out January 25th.
We'll probably get it too because they send us a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's our buddy David Gregory.
Last story I've got, Mario Bava's Blood and Black Lace. On September the 27th, the German company Anolis will re-release the Blood and Black Lace disc. Considered to be the best presentation of the film available, it will be limited to 750 copies in a small, hard box.
Ooh, it's small and it's hard.
With a 1:71:1 anamorphic widescreen ratio and, I guess, subtitled in German and English. So pick that shit up on September the 27th.
Pick it up violently.
That's all I got, buddy.
Do you have the DVDs for this week?
I do. I've got some DVDs.
What are some DVDs? I know that we're starting to get into the DVD
release
season.
Yeah, it's starting to roll now. It's starting to roll. It's rocking and rolling, strutting and strolling. It's September the 28th, which is next Tuesday. You've got Dark Knight of the Scarecrow coming out, which we do have.
We already reviewed that one last week. It's on the YouTube page as well.
We have Madman, the new
that
Code
one,
Red re-release.
I think we are going to do the YouTube review of that one, too.
You've got There's Nothing Out There, the 20th Anniversary Edition from Rolf Kanifsky.
Awesome-o.
You've got Frozen Blu-ray, which I know we've got as well. From
we might
Adam
review
Green.
That one next week.
You have The Suck Blu-ray, which is the film
I was talking
about.
Is that movie you started?
Yeah.
That was a sequel to 400 Blows.
This one is the one with all the rock stars in it. It's about the vampire band and stuff. And then you've got Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue, which is a documentary about horror films through the ages. It was based on a book.
That sounds like a Toby Keith song.
It does.
Nightmares in Red, White, and Blue. I'm a four drug man.
And also all the crappy Fangoria movies that I've got. Like, I can't even tell y'all, there's like eight of them. Like,
but you ever gonna bring Pig Hunt down here?
Yeah, we need to watch Pig Hunt at least.
Opening this weekend, Uncle Bill, is Buried, which is a film directed by Rodrigo Corres and stars Ryan Reynolds, who's one of your favorites. You actually have like a poster next to your bed.
Yeah, I lick it every night before I go to bed.
It's about Paul, who is a U.S. contractor working in Iraq, and after an attack, he got an Iraq attack by a group of Iraqis. He wakes up to find himself buried alive inside a coffin. With only a lighter and a cell phone, it's a race against time to escape this claustrophobic death trap. Sounds pretty interesting.
Does it?
Yeah. There's actually a movie, Buried Alive, very similar to this. It was called Buried Alive, which, was directed by our good buddy, fuck.
That's our good buddy, Shithead McGirth.
Shawshank director, Frank Darabont.
Yeah.
One of those brain aneurysms there almost. but yeah, pretty much similar story, so. But I've not heard any sort of press on this, so it sounds like it's probably a limited release.
You need to eat my dick tonight.
That's what you say, that poster of Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, ooh, Ryan Reynolds, come on now.
So anyway, we should take a break, Uncle Bill.
Let's do it.
And when we come back, we're going to talk to the fans about either Dexter or Backwoods Slashers.
Backwoods, Bo, Backwoods.
Yeah, that's always an interesting discussion. So we will be back after this break here on DearPet.com.
The sound you hear is dripping blood. This is the start of Black Sunday. Black Sunday comes but once every 100 years. On that day, the undead demons of hell rise to unleash an orgy of evil on the world. From Nicolas Gogol's great classic, American International Pictures presents Black Sunday, the most frightening motion picture you have ever seen. She was murdered 500 years ago, there in the barren waste that was her cemetery, the nailed the mask of Satan to her face. Not since Dracula stalked the earth has there been such an unspeakable day and night as Black Sunday.
You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com. Until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of them, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opsy, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Howdy, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. Creepy Kentucky in here.
And I'm Uncle Bill. Hello.
Oh, and we're now going all the way live, like Coolio, all that good stuff. And the Facebook page, which a lot of people don't like Facebook, but, you know, we don't particularly like them, do we, Uncle Bill?
No, I don't care much for them anyway.
So you can leave your questions on the deadpit.com Facebook page for those that can't get through or aren't having success getting through as we're taking the live call-ins. And I'm going to go ahead and read a question here from Ronald Rose, who participates quite a bit on the deadpit.com fans Facebook page. Says, everyone is well aware of the DNR fiasco that was the Predator Hunter edition on Blu-ray. And now we have a botched madman transfer to look forward to. He says, what the fuck? It brings to mind the color-corrected version of John Carpenter's Halloween. Says he has another gripe with aspect ratios, stuff like that. Says, why do companies feel the need to go out of their way to fuck up the original look of the movie? And says, I'm a little more concerned about that Alien Blu-ray set that may have received the same upgrade.
Well, this is a question that really needs to be answered by somebody like Don May Jr., somebody that knows a lot about DVD processing and stuff like that and Blu-ray processing. But it seems to me like the main issue is money involved in this, like getting the remasters done quickly and trying to remaster them as quickly as possible with just, you know, they don't take into consideration anything about the film. They just take into consideration how quick they can get, they can brighten up all the colors and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what the right answer is for why companies do that, but for some reason they do. Like, they even made widescreen versions of The Evil Dead, and, you know, there's no reason to do that. Evil Dead was never in widescreen, you know, so. Anyway, we are going to open up the phone lines, and we're talking about the Dexter, all things Dexter, and what was the other one? Backwoods Slashers.
All right.
Aaron Fry, or Uncle Bill. And we're going to open up the phone lines and see who the hell we have calling in here. We don't have too many people calling yet, so it's 1-606-658-0185.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Iron Trooper again.
Oh, what's going on, sir?
Not much. What's going on with you guys?
We're just trying to take a couple of phone calls. And
we're pondering the meanings of Dexter and or Backwoods Slashers right now.
And possibly the history of the live call-in portion.
Yeah.
I want to talk about my favorite Backwoods Slashers. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Go ahead.
Well, my favorite Backwoods Slasher is Friday the 13th 2.
Hmm.
That's actually my favorite Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah, that movie has got a lot of fans that are really, really intense fans and a lot of people that really, really hate it. I guess that I'd be somewhere in between. I really like Amy Steele's character in that movie. I just like Amy Steele anyway in general. And I like a couple of the death scenes. From watching it over and over again, it sometimes feels like, though, it does drag in certain parts of the movie. Like it, and some of the deaths aren't that memorable either, but, I mean, the ones that are, like the wheelchair death. I mean, you always remember that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the best death scene in the series, where he gets slapped in the face with a machete.
Yeah, you never see that coming either until it happens. Like, that's one of those. You wouldn't even imagine that anybody that made a mainstream movie would put shit like that in it.
That's interesting, though, that you say it's your favorite Friday the 13th film. Though I don't know if I've ever. I'm sure there's other people that's their favorite, but I don't know if I've ever had anybody call in. And what was it about it that made it your favorite?
I don't know. I just like the feeling to it. It has how it feels different to me than the first one. And I just like the way it feels and the atmosphere. Something about the atmosphere just it's really cool, and it feels more of like a more brutal film than the first one was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I always liked it because of that. But some of my other favorites are I like The Forest.
Yeah, not a whole lot of Forest. We're in a small minority people that like The Forest, unfortunately.
I like The Forest, and I'm not a big fan of Don't Go in the Woods Alone, but you know, I don't hate the movie.
Right. Yeah, those we were talking about those earlier as far as Code Red releases go and stuff like that. The Forest, for me at least, The Forest is one of those movies that I just grew up with, kind of, and it always, even though, like, I can understand it's not like a great movie or anything like that, but it's fun, you know, it's something different, and they added a unique twist onto just the regular slasher film. You have, like, ghosts and cannibalism and stuff like that going on in it.
Yeah,
there's about five different things going
on. No, you can go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, the only thing the problem I have with that movie is how many different things are going on in that movie. It's like a slasher film and a cannibal film and a ghost film, and it's just all happening at one time. It's unique for sure, but Jesus, like, there's so much stuff going on in it.
And The Burning. I like The Burning a lot too.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, that movie, people seem to give it a lot of crap now and everything, but I don't really understand that. I think it's a really awesome movie, and really just more like a more violent version and a more brutal version of Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think the whole movie is pretty much a showcase for Savini's effects work. You know, and had they not had him for the movie, I don't know how good the movie or how memorable the movie would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will agree with you because the story, it kind of does have a weak story, and a lot of people just remember it just like the rap scene. A lot of people remember it for that, but my favorite kill scene in it was always where the guy gets stabbed in the throat and he gets picked up and pinned up against the tree.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That was always my favorite.
Cool, very cool. Oh.
What are some of your guys' favorite?
Well, one that we always talk about, I'm sure you know, is Madman, I guess would be one that is one of my all-time favorites. And as far as Friday the 13th go, I would have to say I like all of them up until probably New Line took over. But, like, my favorite, of course, Part 5. And I actually dig Part 4 quite a lot, too.
I'm going to say Don't Go in the Woods Alone because it's just such a shitty film and like so many different levels that it's actually really, really fun to watch. And the score is so bad that it just makes it all the better. And then there's, of course, the wheelchairs. What in the hell is it with wheelchair scenes in these movies anyway? But, yeah, there's one in that movie, too. That's a really, really good one.
Yeah, it's not like the wheelchair thing in Don't Go in the Woods is like one of the most un-PC scenes yeah. I can think of in horror films in general. But it's freaking hilarious the way they set it up, too. And, yeah, but there's so many backwoods slashers. I mean, my God, it's kind of hard to pinpoint, you know, the ones that really stick out that we haven't mentioned already a gazillion times, you know.
Sleepaway Camp 2.
Uh-huh.
That's my favorite Sleepaway Camp movie. And that's another one of my favorite backwoods slashers, if you would consider that a backwoods slasher movie.
Oh, yeah, I would. I mean, it's set in summer camp, so it's in the backwoods, kind of. And yeah, that's a really fun movie, too.
I often wonder, though, what the big deal is for Pamela Springsteen about that movie, why she won't ever talk about it. Because, I mean, if you go back, that's a really, really good performance that she puts on in that movie. And it's really nothing to be ashamed about. I mean, I know the movie is a horror film, a slasher film and all that, but, I mean, she plays that role as well as anybody I've ever seen in a horror film. So I don't understand.
I think her career now is sort of like she does mainstream photography, stuff like that. But I don't even know if that would really have they would be a conflict or anything. I don't think
so. Nobody knows about that shit. And if they do, like, well, I mean, who's going to care?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people know who she is because of Sleepaway Camp. And you would think she would care more about it, but
I don't know. I think eventually she'll come out of her shell a little bit and maybe do a couple of, cause she's still based in New York, I think. So she could do conventions and stuff up there and realize, hey, you know, I can make some pretty decent money on the weekends doing this, and it's nothing, you know, just sign my name. So I'm sure eventually she'll probably, come out and do some shows or something.
Oh yeah. I would like to see her.
Yep. But, man, we appreciate you calling. We're going to try to read some more fan questions and maybe take a couple more phone calls. But it's always good talking to you, and you can call back anytime, no problem.
Well, thank you. Thank you. See you.
All right, man. See you. So what questions do you have over there, Uncle Bill? I rate that call's excellent.
Let's see. Cody LL writes in and says, have you guys ever seen Alfred Hitchcock's Frenzy? It was his next to last movie in 1972. It's about a killer in London who kills his victims by strangling them with his necktie, and an innocent man ends up being framed for it due to circumstance. It's a victim of circumstance.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
While it feels like a Hitchcock ripoff that was actually made by Hitchcock, I actually like it. What about you guys? I've never seen it either. That'd be an easy answer to that question. He says, also, a couple weeks ago, I asked you guys about a show on YouTube called The Cinephiles. I'm like you guys in that I'm sort of a fan, but they sometimes piss me off. The guy named Michael Foltz, who always sits on the end of the row, sometimes annoys me to death with the way he's always interrupting people. When they did a show about the Star Wars saga, they said that they thought the worst film was Return of the Jedi, which means that they thought all the prequels were better than that movie, which I just can't accept. So I do like them, but I also feel that they're full of shit. He says, catch you later. Yeah, that guy is, I actually like that guy the most because he's so pretentious, but he doesn't even care. Like, he's just outwardly,
yeah,
doesn't give a damn what he says. And he's actually right a lot of times, I think, about what he says. But
even if he's not right in your opinion, it takes somebody with a lot of balls or cojones, in TNA's case, to just go out and say your opinion, you know, whether or not it's popular or not. It's your opinion, and, you know, even if I don't agree with it, it's still, you know, it's still what he thinks. You know, you're not going to get some sort of, you know, just a prepackaged answer or something about a movie just because everybody else likes that movie, so he's got to like it.
The guy that kills me, though, is the Edwin Samuelson or Edward or whatever the guy is that hosts the show, because he's always trying to fucking... He always tries to come off as like the film expert guy that has all the trivia, and he'll give you these facts about the film, and he's got like 5-minute dialogues that he tells, and it just irritates the piss out of me sometimes.
What about the African American fella?
He never does shit.
He always says I haven't seen
it. There's never been one single time I've watched that show where that guy's contributed anything to the conversation at all. And he shifts in his chair like crazy. That drives me nuts, too. Whenever anybody asks him a question, he always shifts in his chair and, like, adjusts his hat and stuff. And I just... That's all he really does. I don't know if he gets nervous or... But he never adds anything.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely the least knowledgeable of all the guys when it comes to films in general. I mean, how many times can he say... I've never seen it. I haven't seen that movie. And Rafi Gutman says, we're racist for saying that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Fuck you, Rafi.
Yeah, black or white. Like, if you don't know what the hell you're talking about, you don't know what you're talking about.
Let's see. We've got some more people on Facebook here. Don Muggins, our good buddy Dastardly Don, says, hey, guys. We grew up in the VHS rental era. I remember promises of boxes filled with nudity and over-the-top gore. Coming to me, spinning some grass, promising a flood of blood, and very seldom delivered on the promise. I was wondering if you could share a story of box art that snuckered you in. Is that a word? Snuckered?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Or was plain and held... Or I guess was a surprise. God damn, you people need to fucking... I swear to God. Okay. I'm sure there's a few I can think of.
Unhinged?
Yeah, that's like... that was like the DVD, though.
Oh, you mean VHS?
Yeah, back in the day, like video covers and stuff. Like, I remember Supernaturals was one, because I remember the video art when I was a kid.
You remember the movie Axe?
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Okay, the cover of that thing is awesome, but it really has like zero, any kind of like graphic violence in it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's so many of them. Really, pretty much any of the Herschel Gordon Lewis stuff was not really is what it was cracked up to be either. Like, the special effects in those movies are laughably bad, but they, on the outside, look like they're fucking Tom Savini gore masterpieces or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's, I think a lot of the companies, like, in particular, Thriller Video was one that always had great artwork, but the movies always sucked. Then, like, there was another one. Wizard Video was another one. Like, that was one of Charles Band's. And sometimes what they would do with Wizard Video and shit, they would license like really old shitty movies from the 60s and 70s and give like a new cover to them to make them look like something amazing, you know. And on those videos, they never did put like the real date on there. It'd be like a Roman numeral date where you're like, if you don't know your Roman numerals, you ain't gonna know what fuck year it came out in, you know. So yeah, there's a lot of cases of that. And, yeah, I mean, most of the time, if the video cover art was amazing looking and just sort of promised nudity and violence and all that stuff, it rarely really delivered on that.
So, I miss VHS covers, though. I really do right now.
Yeah, I think the companies need to do something like that now. You know, maybe get people to buy DVDs and stuff, because it doesn't seem like that's really happening that much anymore. I mean, DVD sales and stuff are down quite a bit. So,
Fall Break writes in and says, just want to know if you checked out the new it's actually got Man Man DVD.
I check it out, baby. Man Man.
It's Man Man. As I already have it, with all the talks of it being an inferior transfer, I would like to know what you guys think. Would be cool if you could get in contact with Code Red and the producer of the DVD to see what the hell happened. This is the first Code Red DVD that there's something to compare it with. Before, I would just be pumped just to get these movies on DVD and always feel like an upgrade, but seeing the Anchor Bay disc, I really feel disappointed. Also, Bill was getting way too worked up on horror DVDs, and I think he just said he was closing his doors just to get people to kiss his ass again. So, there you go. Could we contact him? Probably not. He probably wouldn't take our call. He's been a huge dickhole just about everybody in the horror industry.
As I remember, we didn't even have his number. It was one of those deals where he wanted to call us.
Yeah, whatever. Anybody wants to talk to him anyway.
What's funny is about that guy is, like, his name is Bill Olson. That's his name. But if you go on Horror DVD's profile, like, he made up, like, a fake last name on there. Like, Bill Norton or something. Sort of. Like, what the fuck? Is he, like, is he wanted or something?
Probably.
But, look, I don't really give a fuck about defending Code Red at all, but I will say that from what I understand, they were supplied the print of the movie or whatever they use, and they didn't really have any involvement in anything related to that other than distributing it. So you can't really blame the quality of the DVD on them, even though, you know, people probably will anyway, and they kind of, I guess they might deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, that's like saying, though, that if somebody delivered you a shit burger at Dairy Queen and they served it to you, that they don't have any
control
over.
Or the distributors of the shit burger.
Yeah. Like, they should know it's a shit burger before they sell it to anybody.
Yeah, so, I mean, but the thing is, like, and we'll be talking about this a little bit later as far as the Madman DVD goes, the movie doesn't look too good. But, I mean, the extra features and stuff on there are probably worth the price of the DVD itself, I would say, if you're a fan of the movie. So,
how much does Code Red have on those, anyway? Got any idea?
Oh, I know on Amazon it's like 22-something.
God damn.
For a DVD. But, hey, if you want it, you better hurry and get it, because I'm sure it won't be out long. You know, it'll be one of those deals like the Savage Streets DVD. So, People start giving us a call. God bless. Hello. You're on Dead Pit Radio with Creepy Kentuckian and Uncle Bill. Who's this?
It's Kyle. Eat shit and live again.
Well, what's going on, eat shit and live?
From all of hell.
Yeah.
Not much,
Tom,
guys.
It's Tom,
I couldn't think of any good backwoods slasher movies, but off the top of my head, I've been trying to think of a good one. Maybe Camp Blood?
The, Camp Blood is the,
Is that the Killer Clown one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good, though, right? Good backwoods slasher.
That one is memorable, though. I mean, there's like three of those movies, I think.
Yeah, I think those movies cost about $20 to make. All three
like
of them. Yeah. They're not that bad. I haven't seen them in a while, but they're not that bad of a movie. I mean, the first one. I don't know if I've seen all of them, but...
Yeah, the third one, it got re-released under another name. I can't remember what the name of it was, but it wasn't too bad. It was probably the best of the three.
They actually had... they sent us a DVD where they remastered the first one in 3D. Do you remember that? We never did watch
that.
We never did watch it. Because
you know the 3D's awesome on that.
Yeah, you're taking a movie that's shot on video and making it 3D. It's got to be awesome.
Yeah. They got lots of strippers in the movies, too. They probably gave them $5 and like an Oxycontin pill or something. Come be in our movie.
Let them snort a line of Lortab dust from their asshole or something.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Those are some pretty memorable movies, anyway.
Yeah, those are actually, I never imagined anybody mentioning those. Have you, we're also talking about Dexter. Have you ever got into the show Dexter?
The last season of that show is like the best season of any show I've ever seen. I thought John Lithgow, I mean, that's an actor for you. You know, for somebody to go from Third Rock from the Sun to playing that part on Dexter last season, I mean, that was awesome. I mean, he did an awesome job, I think.
Yeah, that season is, yeah. It's like I said, that year, I guess it was last year. I thought that was the best anything that I'd seen related to horror, like movies or TV or anything. That was my pick for like the best thing, period, to be on, you know, that had anything to do with horror.
That's exactly the way I feel. I thought the acting is top-notch. I mean, and the story, I mean, it is just flawless from beginning to end, I thought that season was.
Yeah. I'm actually about
looking forward to that season, the new one.
I'm about halfway through it because I don't have Showtime, and we just got the season 4 DVD in. And yeah, I mean, Dexter's one of those shows that it sort of anybody that comes into that show, like we were talking about Jimmy Smits that was in it a couple of years ago.
Keith Carradine.
Yeah, Keith Carradine. It just like ups their value. Or something. It makes them seem a lot better than they really are. And John Lithgow always, I agree with you. He's a great actor, but he always played like an awesome villain too. Like years before he was ever in Third Rock from the Sun, he was, just a bad guy in almost every movie he was ever in. So he's awesome in that role.
Yeah, he was something else. By far the best killer so far, I thought.
Yeah. And I think they're going to, for the new season, I'd heard that they're going to switch it up a little bit. That it's not really going to have a main villain throughout the whole season. So it'll be interesting to see how that works.
Yeah, I don't know if that... Does that start this weekend? It might start this weekend, actually.
I think Sunday's the first episode.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, that'll
Julia
be
Julia Stiles, I'm not looking forward to that part of it. I don't like her.
Yeah, she looks like somebody smacked her in the head with a sledgehammer.
Shit.
Hot frying pan.
Well, she hadn't been in anything in a while either. I've noticed that. Like, it's like it seems like the.
I think she went back to college or something, become a director or something.
Oh, really? Yeah, it seems like Dexter gets a lot of folks like that that aren't really that mainstream anymore, and it sort of revives their career a little bit. All except for Jimmy Smits. I don't know if anything could really revive his career entirely. I mean, he's still. Doing, I always thought he didn't fit in at all in those Star Wars movies either. Like I was, even though those movies aren't that good, I was like, what the fuck? That's Jimmy Smith.
Well, I didn't think Samuel L. Jackson fit in either at all.
Yeah, but at least Samuel L. Jackson.
Everybody looks out of place in those scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson was at least a mainstream actor though. Like it's almost like a sin or something to see Jimmy Smith in a big screen theater or something. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have got Harry Anderson or somebody like that playing it.
Harry Anderson!
Off the wall.
It'd been awesome as hell. We actually have fucking Patty Duke in it or something, too.
Meredith Baxter Burney, yeah.
Yeah, Meredith Baxter Burney, that bitch that played Joe Duncan. In Family. That bitch that played Joe in Facts of Life. Have heard
Judy Gold.
You guys are going to Scarefest, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll be there.
Yeah, this will be my first year going. I didn't know that it was such a big deal. I mean, I only live like 75 miles away from Lexington and didn't even realize it was that big of a order show that close.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually working on a couple of really interesting guests that he was telling me about the other night. So if that happens, I'm sure a lot of people will be really interested in meeting some of them. But, yeah, I mean, it's always like a really big show every year. It's in Heritage Hall connected to Rupp Arena. I'm sure you've seen that area before. Yeah, it's a real big area. So.
Yeah, I've not met him. This will be my first convention.
Yeah, just bring a lot of money if you want to get autographs. The one.
Yeah, Platoon's already been announced. I'm like, you know, I'm probably spending $150.
Yeah, just be prepared. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. Like, if it's your first convention, one thing you'll definitely have to remember is these people are here for money, and that's pretty much it. You know.
Yeah. Nobody charges like $50 or nothing like that.
No, I'd say the most would be like $25.
Yeah, $20.
That's usually the most.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, if I've heard some stories about like. But none of the shows that we've ever been to, like, I think Christopher Lee was like $75. And, you know, people like that, they'll overcharge.
Honestly, though, Christopher Lee's probably one of the few guys that could get away with charging $75. Because that son of a bitch has been
alive.
He's been in so much stuff, and, like, he's so well known. And, yeah, he's not going to be alive too much longer anyway. So.
Yeah. I think Adam West, though, he was another one.
Shit, I wouldn't pay you a dollar to see Adam West if he was across the street from me right now.
Oh, Adam West.
I've never met George Romero, so that's the one I'm really looking forward to. I know y'all guys have met him like 4 or 5 times, and I'm really looking forward to him.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy, too, very down-to-earth. And, you know, we may give him shit about some of his recent Dead movies, but, I mean, you're not going to find any other director of that era that does shows like he does. And he's just a really professional guy that gets – I mean, I was just amazed at his age. He's like 70 years old. Doing the stuff
but
he does.
Know, people look at, I always look at it this way. People don't, you know, they don't look at the work that Paul McCartney's done since the Beatles and hold it against him. You know, they think of the work that he did while he was in the Beatles. And I kind of look at George Romero that way. You know, you look at the three great movies he made. I mean, and he can make whatever he wants to. He can do any movie. He can do, you know, Crazy Fat Alpha 4 for all I care. You know, he still did them three great movies.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he'll always have a place as one of my favorite filmmakers, no matter what he does now. It's just, I wish to God he'd get fucking Ringo and George back together with him and, like, get on the ball again. Jesus.
Yeah. George is dead, though, isn't he?
Yeah. I was talking about George Romero. It was an analogy, but...
I think Uncle Bill actually did like that Paul McCartney song, Freedom, though, that he had a few years ago.
Talking about freedom!
Doodle-doo-doo!
Talking about freedom!
That was one of the gayest fucking songs ever.
Before I go, I saw one of your old videos that Uncle Bill had on a Strike Force t-shirt when y'all were going to see Raw a couple months ago. Where in the world did you get the Strike Force shirt? I want one.
Yeah, oh, where did we get the Strike Force shirt? That's from old T-Shirt Joe, buddy. He makes all the fine apparel that we wear here at FastCustomShirts.com.
Yeah, anything you see.
I've been looking on
go ahead.
WWE and I can't find a Strike Force shirt. I want one.
No, you'll never find that on WWE, I'm sure.
Maybe if you meet fucking Rick Martel at a convention or something, he might have a few of them made. Did you find it? All right, man. Well, we appreciate you calling, and if you see old Tom T. Hall running around, say hey for him, to him for us.
Okay, guys. You all take it easy. Keep up the good work.
All right,
see
man.
See you.
Take it easy. You got to have respect for Tom T. Hall.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I wrote that one.
Tom
was excellent
T.
as well. It was an excellent phone call. Actually got a bunch more questions on here.
Well, let's go.
Jeremy Caudle says, hey, guys, just wondering, have you heard about the new Tremors movie? No, I haven't heard about it. He said it's supposed to be Tremors Down Under with Fred Ward, Michael Gross, and Paul Hogan.
Oh, my God.
Would think that it's fake, but Fred Ward said on Entertainment Tonight that he's doing it. I'm sure Fred Ward's fucking excited as hell.
He probably is, yeah. I'm sure Paul Hogan is, too.
It says, I was wondering, since I mentioned Fred Ward, if you had any sort of horror film with him and Powers Booth called Southern Comfort. I think you talked about
that. Yeah, I love that movie. It's a Deliverance ripoff from the 80s about a group of National Guard reservists that go out in the woods on like a exercise to practice, and they run into a bunch of rednecks and causes a big uproar.
Yeah. And Jason Pace on Facebook. Anybody that wants to leave us questions anytime during the week, deadpit.com fans Facebook page. We're trying to get over 1,000 members. Says, can Dexter top last season, or is it all downhill from here?
I don't think it can. I really don't fucking see how at this point. And once you see the whole season, you'll understand why, I think. I mean, I just don't see how that's possible.
I haven't seen the entire season 4 yet. But I don't even, like, with me in a show, I don't even really compare the seasons. I just sort of, you know, I judge them for each season themselves, how it flows as a season. You can't really, you know, compare them to other, well, I guess other people do, but I don't. So one last phone call we have on here. Hello. You're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys. This is Nasty Nick from the Natty. I called you about a month ago.
What's going on, Nasty Nick?
Just got done smoking a bowl of some fine weed.
Are you about to get crunked?
I'm calling to you guys.
Yeah. I think he's saying you're getting crunked right now.
What?
Are you about to get crunked?
I'm already crumped up, really.
So, we're talking about, of course, Dexter or Black Backwoods slasher movies or anything else you want to talk about.
Okay, I just picked up a movie. It's kind of a Backwoods slasher, but not really sure about it. It's called Eden Lake.
Yeah, I'd actually heard about that, but I'd never had the chance to see it yet.
Eden Lake, I haven't heard anything about it.
It has Michael Fassbender, the guy from Inglourious Basterds in it. He's like the main guy.
Is he the Nazi main guy in that one?
He was the guy that, like, he spoke German, and he went in to go meet the actress lady. And he was like, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to drink this scotch.
Oh, yeah. The he was British in the film, though. That was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like him and his fiance go out into the woods because this community is about to wipe out all the woods and make, like, a community. But there's all these teenagers, and the teenagers keep fucking with the kids. So then, like, eventually they kill the kid's dog by mistake. So then the kids want to kill the couples. So it's kind of like Lord of the Flies meets Funny Games.
Hmm.
It sounds interesting anyway, yeah. I'm trying to think, though. It's hard for me to even come up with any fucking backwoods slashers other than ones that we've already talked about. I don't know, like, how many of them. I know there's a million of them. And they don't really make a lot of them anymore, either.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, like, lower-budget ones. Like another one, Cannibal Campout would be a backwoods slasher movie.
Yeah, it would.
Like, I don't know if you've seen that one. That I love that movie, though, for some reason. I mean, it was a shot-on-video film from, like, the mid-'80s. But it was just so, like... And I say this a lot. I mean, even with the guys with... And that's why I think digital video, in the end, is a great thing. Because if you have the motivation to make something that's at least fun and entertaining, you can do it. And John McBride did it with Cannibal Campout, I think. And he didn't have hardly any money to spend, but he still made something that was at least entertaining and fun to watch.
Yeah, better than most of the Full Moon and Trauma films that came out.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference is, I think, is like Trauma and Full Moon and those guys are basically motivated only for money. And that's it.
Did Trauma ever do, like, did they ever get in on the slasher, like the backwoods slashers or anything?
I'm sure they did, but I don't know.
I don't remember.
I'm just saying, as a company, though, I mean, they're not really motivated to make great movies. It just seems like they want to have shit out there for people to buy, and that's it, you know.
Yeah, I know, like, Charlie Band, Shred, and Bezel, like, a couple $100,000 from Paramount, so they dropped his ass, and that was, like, in the early 90s, I think.
Yeah, I totally believe that.
Yeah, me too.
It was, like, on the movie Lurking Fear with Jeffrey Combs.
It's another one I haven't seen. Jeffrey Combs is another one of those guys that's just been in... He's like fucking Sam Neill or something. He's been in almost everything.
Yeah, but he's got like a one-man stage show now where he does Edgar Allan Poe show. I'd actually really like to see that, though, because he was really awesome in the Black Cat episode of Masters of Horror.
Oh, yeah, I love that episode because, like, Masters of Horror isn't really known for their quality.
No, but that one was really, really good just because of him. I think he's one of the few guys that actually could really act on that show.
Yeah, I think it's a shame, though, that they didn't continue with the Masters of Horror series, because there were a few episodes there that I thought were really good.
Like, Incident on and Off Mountain Road was great.
Yeah, and I liked the family episode that John Landis did with the guy that played, was it Norm or whatever from Cheers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that episode, too. I mean, there were a lot of them that weren't that good, but there were enough to make me want to watch it again. I'll say that, you know. But I guess, ultimately, the series was just too expensive for them to make, because each one of those little episodes looked like movies themselves. So, anyway.
Yeah. Like, they tried to do a third season by changing the name and putting it on a... NBC, but that didn't really fly. It got canceled, like, right away.
It was, like, one season of that, and that was it. But,
yeah.
Man, we appreciate you calling. You're going to be the last caller of the night. But call back anytime you want, and keep it nasty, brother.
Shit, it was good talking with you guys.
All right, man. You take it easy.
Yeah, take care, sir.
Have a good one.
All right, man. Don't get too crunk. We'll see you. Bye. He wasn't about to get crunk. He was crunk. So,
he's crunked up.
I think I've got like one or two more questions on here. Our views on Donnie Darko.
Jesus Christ.
It's from Matt Sheriff Ward Malloy.
It's one of those movies where you're either in the you get it camp or you don't get it camp, and I just didn't get it. So that's my view.
I got it, buddy. I liked it. I mean, I don't know if I got it, but I thought it was it's just weird enough for me to enjoy. Shelley Borrow, have you ever heard of Truth or Dare with Joel D. Wynkoop?
I've heard of Truth or Dare that was directed by Tim Ritter.
Timothy Ritter. I don't think I've ever seen it, though.
No, me either.
Roberto Scott, that's the last question I got on here, unless somebody else is... what Blu-ray transfer has most surprised you, either by being better or shittier than expected, and what titles were released on HD DVD that are still needing a Blu-ray release? Well, hell, I don't know. I mean, there's quite a few, but I don't know, like, in detail what the titles are. There's quite a bit, though. But what about Blu-ray transfers that were awesome than you thought or shittier?
I thought the Monster Squad one was really, really good. It was a lot better than I thought it would be, and that's a Lionsgate title, and they don't usually release quality. As far as being shittier, I don't know. What do you think? Like, Blu-ray?
I would say the one that just I couldn't believe, because this was before I ever... I got this one on HD DVD and didn't really look at a whole lot of reviews. I just really loved the movie. Well, the first time I saw The Shining in high def.
Yeah.
And that's like, when you see that, that just tells you if the studios take their time, they can make movies that, and it was a 30-year-old movie, look unreal, you know, and that's a great example. And I think The Descent was another one where I was like, wow, that's just awesome. You know, it makes the movie, I think that's one instance where it makes the movie a lot better.
I'll actually tell you one, though, that the Blu-ray transfer is awful on, is, and we reviewed this not too long ago, is anything by Full Moon. Especially the Puppet Master movies that they've released on Blu-ray are just, they're like VHS ports. That's how bad it is. It's just horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, as far as bad transfers go, I don't know. I have no idea. But that is it for the fan portion. We will conclude the show after this break. We want to review some shit and party like it's 1985. Ain't that right, Uncle Bill? Yep. So we're going to take a break. We will be back after this break here on. I said break like five fucking times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're going to take a break. Here on DeadPit.com.
Bye-bye.
Coming this summer, the greatest Canadian duo of all time is back.
What's the matter, cat? Got your tongue? It's for jacking off, isn't it?
You goddamn motherfucking moron!
It is, but it beats a vibrator.
Yeah? Well, at least the vibrator gets me off.
CanadianFerox.com, the sleaziest podcast on the internet. Join your hosts, The Changeling and J-Dog, as they discuss horror, cult, and exploitation films. www.CanadianFerox.com. Keep it greasy, yo.
Go fuck an iceberg.
Back here at Dead Pit Radio. I'm Uncle Bill. Portion was a little bit lacking.
Home portion's been lacking for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that at this point we should probably just ditch the live call-in thing, go back to the regular call-in.
Well, I'm thinking about ditching call-ins entirely.
Yeah, I mean, it has gotten to that point.
I mean, nothing against people that do call in, because there are, like, dedicated callers, you know? But it's like, I know more people are fucking listening than just four or five fucking people that call in all the time, you know, so I don't know. We'll talk about the call-ins and maybe make some kind of announcement here in the midweek obliteration or something.
But for some reason, though, when the live call-in portion started, it started off really, really well, I thought, and then just after a couple of weeks just completely seemed to die down to the point where it's, I mean, not only are there not a lot of people in the chat room, there's a lot of people posting on Facebook, which is good, but the calls seem to have fucking dropped off, which is weird, because you would think with a live call-in show, you'd get more calls, because people would be listening to the show to see what people are saying, and they would call in. That would be the point of having a live call-in show, but that's not what's happened for some reason over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
So, I don't really see the point in doing that.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of doing the live call-ins was getting new people. People that are listening live that can participate, and it's just too, I don't know, it's not really working out, I don't think, so we probably, at the very least, go back to the way we regularly did phone calls, and, but we gave it, I mean, we tried it for about a month, you know, month and a half, but it's just too much, I don't know, it's too much work, and it's not really paying off, especially this time of year, you'd think it would, so, yeah, at the very least, like the live call-in thing, it's probably not going to happen anymore, you know, and a couple more announcements I guess we need to mention on here. We're going to have new t-shirts available. I don't know if you guys will be able to see what they look like unless I get some photos, but we will have them available. They're actually, I think, the best looking Dead Pit shirt that we've ever had. A guy by the name of Raven Jericho did the artwork, like, probably about a year ago, actually, and we never really did use it up until the Fright Night Film Fest. We sort of debuted it. It's a playoff of the Creepshow-style comic book artwork that a lot of people seem to like.
If you've ever been to a convention and seen us there, well, the last convention we were at, actually, if you were at Fright Night, then it's our banner that we use behind the table in a T-shirt form. And we actually sold out of all these T-shirts at the last Fright Night that we were at. I mean, we were given, I don't know how many, probably 10 or 15, something like that, and they all sold out within that time period. And they were all different colors and stuff, too. But, yeah, it's a great design. I think a lot of people really, really liked it.
Yeah, so, but we'll have that available from like sizes small to 4XL, so pretty much anybody that wants one can get one, and people, like we do have overseas shipping and stuff like that to people in Guam and the Virgin Islands and all that shit. So,
that'll be nice.
But yeah, you won't know what it looks like though, because I can't get anybody to take a photo with it.
Oh no, you're not gonna be able to buy it. Ever.
Which is fucking, whatever. I mean, we'll talk about that in another day, but eventually we will have a lovely lady of some sort take a photo with it, so you'll see what it looks like on somebody.
It'd be nice to have a woman take a photo with it.
Yeah. But it is like a amazing looking shirt. And also, I wanted to let everyone know that there should be a video up by the time you watch or you're listening to this. I want to try to sell off some of my horror autographs that I've gotten over the years that I have doubles of and stuff like that. If anybody's interested, you can go on the YouTube page and check that out for a big list of stuff that I'm selling. You want to buy anything off of me, Uncle Boo?
I didn't even know that. When the hell did that happen?
Yeah, it just happened.
So what are you selling?
I'm actually selling autographs of Clive Barker, Marilyn Burns, Betsy Palmer,
ooh,
people like that,
ooh,
and more. I think John Shepard, one from Friday the 13th, Part 5.
Are you selling any Brink Stevens?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Brink Stevens actually doesn't do a whole lot of shows anymore, though.
No, she used to do them up in Maryland and stuff, but she doesn't do shit now.
She used to do them everywhere. But, yeah, that is that. But I guess we might as well go ahead and get into the reviews. I do know that next week, I'm not sure exactly what we're doing next week, but it's the beginning of October. Next week will be October 1st, so we better start planning on some shit.
We're going to plot and plan.
So we'll try to get some interesting guests for you. I mean, I don't know. We haven't really had any guests in quite some time. I mean, we had Felcher last week, but that was, we always have Felcher on. I don't know if he really counts.
You trying to say he's not a real guest?
He's more like a member of the fucking radio show, though,
yeah,
I guess.
That's true. We need to find somebody from one of the Halloween movies, at least one damn person.
Yeah. We'll get Ella Cornell and ask her what it was like to work with Sticky Fingers.
Thing is, you'll never get Ella Cornell. I don't know what it is about her. She just doesn't want to do it. Maybe Danielle Harris will do it.
So, let's get into the reviews. First thing up, definitely want to talk about this, even though I haven't really had the chance to see the entire season yet. I think I've watched about 6 episodes so far, and it's the complete 4th season of Dexter, which is a Showtime show. And give you a little bit of a backstory, I mean, I've got all the other seasons. I've never ever watched it on Showtime because I had Showtime years ago, but always watch them on, I don't even know if I could make it watching them once a week. I don't know if I could do that. Because it's a show that's just so awesome that's like, it just interests you so much. Like, I don't know if I could wait a whole week to watch another episode, you know? Like, you want to... All the episodes are left with these big cliffhangers, usually.
Yeah, I mean, the end episode of that season, I think that was like the highest watched episode that was ever in Showtime's history, I believe. The highest watched anything in Showtime's history. So it has a following of people that just religiously watch it now.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell why by, you know, if you watch this whole season all the way through. And you really look forward. It's one of the few shows I can say I really look forward to seeing the new show every week. Like, there's never a point where I miss that show. And I don't really keep track of anything like that other than that show.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know as far as the fourth season, like what do you want to talk about as far as the plot goes?
Well, you haven't seen it all, like have you? Like you only seen halfway through. So
well, I mean,
we can't.
We don't want to give it away anyway. I mean, basically, just the story of the season.
Well, this one is based around a couple of different things, I guess, like with Dexter and I forget her name. Rita, is that her name in the show? Yeah. That's like his wife, or I guess it's his wife in this show, having a kid. And also, the big bad person in this one is John Lithgow, who's playing the Trinity Killer. And I don't know, has it gotten to the point where they've talked about why it is he's called the Trinity Killer?
What do you mean?
Because he kills, like, has it gotten to that point where they explain all that stuff? Because I don't want to give it away. If it
well, don't give nothing away. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people haven't watched the show. I mean,
I think that's at least midway into the season. It's not like a huge plot point or anything. It's just,
right.
You know.
Well, God, I don't want a lot of shit given away to me, no.
But anyway, yeah, John Lithgow is the killer in this one, and Dexter kind of looks up to him because all of the bodies that are found in this season have been chopped up into pieces and I think drained of all their blood, so there's like no physical evidence whatsoever for him to collect. So he's kind of envious of how this guy is able to pull off all these murders the way that he is. And just, there's no real evidence at a lot of these places.
Yeah. And the thing that's a strong point about Dexter as a show is, I think just the ensemble cast they have, too. Like, it's not just Michael C. Hall and John Lithgow. Like, I think it's just like all the ingredients together make the show what it is. And it's like, the writing is another thing, too, just the way the show is structured. Like, I don't know how long it takes them to actually put together a season, but you can clearly tell the guys that write this write it as an entire, you know, entity, I guess, or being. The script of the show just has an awesome flow throughout the entire season, and it's perfectly structured, I would say.
Yeah, there's really not any bad actors in this season either, I don't think. I mean, you've got Jennifer Carpenter's his sister, who she's always awesome. And, like, a lot of people hate her character of the show because she's really annoying and kind of, like, grating, and she's got, like, a real New York kind of style, I guess, or something about her. And then the little – I don't know who the guy is that plays the little Chinese forensics guy,
yeah,
but he's fucking
hilarious. Vince, I think.
Yeah. And, I mean, everybody in the cast is really, really great. And then the guy – we actually saw him recently, too, that's, like, the Cuban
Batista.
Sergeant. Yeah, Batista.
The only thing is, in this season, I don't believe the romance thing with Batista, and it's just not, I don't know why.
I don't think it lasts much longer.
Don't have a chemistry or whatever.
Yeah, this episode, or this season, thank God.
Yeah, that just doesn't work for me at all, but yeah, and like from season two, Keith Carradine's character comes back, and yeah, he doesn't last too long in the season either, but without giving anything away. But you know, it's just one of the. I gotta say, Dexter is one of the best shows in general. Like, I'm not even gonna. A lot of people rant and rave about this particular season, but I've enjoyed all the seasons. I thought they were all really good, and it's just, you know, one of the rare television shows that I want to follow, you know, and keep up with, just because it's off the chain.
I'm trying to remember, though. I think this is the season where Jennifer Carpenter gets naked.
Oh, really? That's something to look forward to.
I think it is, yeah. You see her for a brief period of time, yeah, with topless. Well, there's a topless scene in it.
Ooh, ooh. Although she doesn't have much up there, I don't think. But
no, but she's yeah. She's a lovely young lady. Mm.
She's actually from Kentucky, too, believe it or not.
Yeah, but as of anything else to mention about this season without giving away, I'm sure that, like, most everybody knows now the ending because everybody's talked about it for so damn long. So there's no sense even getting into that. But I just, still, when I think about it, it was probably one of the most surprising endings I've ever seen in any movie or show or anything. Like, nobody saw that shit coming. I don't care. Like, nobody.
Yeah. So I'll definitely look forward to that. And it's like, you know, like I was saying, when I get a Dexter season end to review or watch or whatever, I've got it all watched within about a week. I mean, it, and it's like, I don't know how many episodes it is. Like, it's 12 hours of shows. So usually within a week's time, I'll watch a couple of them a night, and I'm, you know, that's how I do things. That's how I roll.
Yeah,
so.
It's something that you want to watch. And I think there's two episodes. The episode that I knew, the last episode, of course, is awesome. Probably one of the best episodes. But the episode where I knew that this show was going to be, like, the best thing of the whole year was there's an episode toward the end where they're all having Thanksgiving dinner together. It's Dexter and John Lithgow and his family, and they're all having Thanksgiving dinner. That scene and that episode, it just solidified that that's, like, one of the, that is probably the best show on TV today.
It's off the chain.
It is, yeah.
Yep, that is Dexter Season 4. There's actually a lot of special features and stuff on here, too, it looks like. Just various E-Bridge technology. What the fuck is that? I'm just looking at this stuff, and what does that mean right there? As far as special features, I don't understand that.
You mean via E-Bridge technology?
No, but that. What is?
Oh, it actually had. Yeah, it actually had episodes of other Showtime shows.
Oh, is that a show or something?
Yeah, it's got season 3 episodes 1 and 2 of Californication.
I didn't know. I thought that was the name of a show.
That's the show with David Duchovny in it. Californication is. It's got season 1 episode 1 of Lock and Load, and season 4 episode 1 of The Tudors, which are all just Showtime series.
Season 4 episode 1 of Tootie.
Yeah, from Facts of Life.
It's her spinoff show. So that is Dexter Season 4. You may want to check that one out. So the last film we're going to talk about is controversial, to say the least. Wouldn't you agree, Uncle Bill?
You mean the DVD release?
Yeah, the release. Yeah. So.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Because it is, from what I understand, the very last Code Red DVD ever. After all the complaints as far as the transfer on this DVD, I think the insane producers over at Code Red decided to close up shop. And the interesting thing is, and I don't want to name who our sources are as far as like who says this kind of shit, but we were talking to somebody recently about a lot of the stuff, and a lot of people ask, that Code Red had announced that never came out. Like, there's a lot. There's quite a bit that never, no, it never really went anywhere. And from what I understand, a lot of those titles, they never, ever owned the rights to any of those titles.
So they would just randomly announce shit that wasn't out and...
yeah, and put it out. We're going to bring it out.
We're no, shit. You didn't.
And interestingly enough, this particular title, I remember when we interviewed Bill Olson, the guy behind Code Red DVD, and mentioned, hey, what about a Madman re-release? He seemed to have little to no interest in bringing Madman out. But oddly enough, the 30th anniversary is here, and we do have a brand new edition of Madman on DVD. And this comes out this coming Tuesday, September the 28th.
I'm hoping to God we don't have to explain the plot to Madman again. I don't know how many times we've talked about this movie.
I don't know if we've ever really reviewed it, though.
Okay, here's the plot. Don't say his name, and you'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean, Madman is just a basic backwoods slasher movie. I mean, I think it's got more character than a lot of the backwoods slasher movies at the time. They set the legend up perfectly at the beginning of the movie. You know, it's a local legend that of a farmer who killed his family and still roams the woods, and anyone who says his name will be killed violently with the axe of the Madman. And that's basically it. And the entire movie takes place at night. It is a very, I think it's a really underrated movie as far as the cinematography goes in the film itself. Now, we'll talk about the DVD of this, the transfer on this, which has caused a lot of people, a lot of uproar, I guess, on the internet, is much like the, I think it was the 25th anniversary edition of Halloween, they auto color corrected the movie entirely. So all of the blue hue throughout Madman has been turned orange, orangish.
Which I don't know if you've ever seen. If you've ever seen a movie color corrected in this way, it looks like shit. Because it looks... You know what happens when your tube goes out in your television and, like, one of the colors goes out and then the other colors try to, like, compensate for that color and they're, like, really, like, a lot brighter?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what this movie looks like. It just, it doesn't look, it looks out of place. Like, the colors look, there's too much contrast in the colors.
Yeah. Well, actually, on the back of the DVD, too, it says that features a, it's the first time the movie has been anamorphic. I will give it that. From an HD Master, which is...
Well, yeah, anyone at a Monsters HD thing?
Yeah,
it
was the same Master they used on Monsters HD, from what I understand. And, you know, I gotta say, I can't defend the way the movie looks at all. I mean, it does look like pure shit, actually. Especially if you've watched the movie before and are used to seeing the movie a certain way. It just doesn't work the way it was released. And in addition to that, for a lot of DVD buffs out there, the DVD is not even a progressive DVD.
Yeah, it's interlaced, isn't it?
Yeah, which was common for DVDs to be interlaced if they'd come out in 1998 or 1999. But for almost 10 years now, that has been the standard. You know, even the most generic DVDs you can get, the Legend Films DVDs, are all progressive.
Why did they interlace it? Did anybody ever say? Like, why was it left that way?
I think the Code Red guys were pretty much playing dumb as to why that happened. Now, I know that it was a rushed release. The producer, Gary Sales, wanted this DVD out quick. So maybe that was one of the constraints where, like, hey, we don't have a lot of time. Let's just throw this thing out there. And it really does, the movie itself, it really does look like that's what they've done, unfortunately. Because you've got a DVD that Anchor Bay came out with in, like, 2001. As far as the picture quality goes, it trumps it. It totally does. Now that one wasn't a widescreen DVD. It wasn't an anamorphic DVD, but as far as the picture quality goes on that, it just really kicked the shit out of this one. So that's what you got on this.
The big thing to talk about with this movie, though, is the special features, because that's the only thing really that's going to cause you to want to buy it and trump the Anchor Bay version, because it's not going to be the picture quality. There's no way. The Anchor Bay version looks a lot better.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Anchor Bay version didn't have hardly any special features on it.
Yeah, it didn't have any.
Had audio commentary and I think just various stills or something like that. But this one, and this is why I'm going to say you got to go out and get this DVD. One of the reasons is there's a 90-minute documentary on the movie, and it was done by fans of the film and features Paul Ehlers,
mm-hmm.
Madman Mars himself, features Michael Sullivan, who played, I think his name was Dippy in the movie, the chef, the little chef guy that was drunk and was seemingly drunk in the interview, too. you also had Gary Sales is interviewed. I think one of the cameramen is interviewed. Who else? One of the leading ladies in the movie.
You know who wasn't interviewed? It's shameful, too.
Who dat?
Galen Ross.
Well, I could have predicted that.
It's like, buddy, what in the fuck is going on with that? Like, I still don't understand it. I mean, this documentary was made mostly by fans just so they could have a documentary on here. And it's one of the only three movies she's ever done that would ever be recognized by anybody. It would be Dawn of the Dead, Creepshow, and this movie. What's the big fucking deal?
I don't know. I mean, that's one of those deals where eventually we will find out, because one of these days we'll run into her at a show. I mean, I don't know when, but it'll eventually happen. I mean, that's the one thing. Like, I would just love to hear her perspective on the movie itself, But we didn't get that here. But we also have a lot of fans of the movie are featured in the documentary, including us, Uncle Bill. We were actually in it. This is the very first thing like this we've ever been a part of.
We're prominently featured in the documentary, too, which is pretty amazing. I'm surprised Uncle Creepy wasn't in this documentary, too, though.
Uncle Creepy was missing from this documentary. It's just, that's the thing, though, man. When you have fans making something, it's always going to be better than if it's just a guy. Like, take the Friday the 13th original releases they did. The guy wasn't a fan of the movie that did the first two or three Friday the 13th DVDs when they came out a couple of years ago. He just wasn't a fan, and you could clearly tell that. But when you have guys like Michael Felcher, who's a fan of the genre, and Victor Bonacore, who's a big horror fan, and the guy that directed this, and I can't pronounce this guy's last name, Dave Benlike or whatever, he's the guy that edited it, and is a big fan of horror as well. He works at Shriek Show, which is one of the few guys that still have the job at Shriek Show. It's just a really fun documentary. They actually, throughout the documentary, talk about the various aspects of the film, have fans showing off their collections of stuff. I want to get your thoughts on Larry New, the guy with all the madman heads and stuff.
Yeah, well, there's at least one or two people on all these documentaries that I've been watching recently are these uber collector people that just, they pick a movie and just fucking go all out, like, collecting shit from that one particular movie. And that's definitely this guy. Like, in Nightmare on Elm Street, the Never Sleep Again, they had the guy that had, like, all the fucking gloves from, like, all the movies, and he had them, like, he knew everything about each glove. And then you got this fucking guy who's, like, I don't know how it is that he focused in on this particular movie this much and, like, has that much shit involved with the movie, but it does.
Yeah, I mean, from what I talk to Paul Ehlers on a regular basis since we've started helping out with this DVD, and he was just telling me about the amount of money this guy spends on getting stuff made.
Mm-hmm.
Like, getting a resin axe made from a sculptor that looks exactly like the axe from the movie costs quite a bit of fucking money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then the bus and stuff too. Jesus, I mean,
they had like six or seven madman heads.
Yeah,
look like to me. So, yeah, but you get to see that on there. You get to see some of my collection, which I don't have. I actually have one madman head now.
That would have been a great thing to have for that documentary at the time.
I show various posters and videos and stuff like that that I've gotten over the years. But it's just and they go back to the location for a while and for the first time in a while. And it's just a really fun documentary. And for the folks wondering if they should plop down the money for this, I would say go ahead and do it just for the extra stuff.
It'd be all right if it was like $15 or something, but fucking $22, that's hardcore money.
But again, we all know what happened when the Anchor Bay DVD went out of print and how much that was. It's still going to be worth a lot of money, evidently.
I was thinking about that, yeah. It's probably never going to be not worth money now.
And this thing isn't going to be out long, from what I understand.
What was there, like 1,000 made?
I don't know how many was made, but there's not going to be any more made after this initial run. Like, I don't know how many they printed. So if you want to grab it, I would say grab it violently. It's the 30th anniversary edition. And they also feature Darren Miller from CKY is in this and talks about a song that he wrote based on Madman.
Yeah, and Darren, I think he's done a lot of stuff for Don't Go in the Woods, too.
Yeah,
like, big slasher. He's got a backwoods slasher fascination.
Yeah, and I tell you how much of a slasher fan he is. He actually married a slasher.
Yeah. From Mary Felicia Rose from Sleepaway Camp.
That's his ultimate possession right there.
God. That's kind of scary if you think about it, though.
Yeah.
For her.
Yeah. You also have Band Fans of Madman, which actually features our version of the Madman Mars theme, too. I don't know if you saw that.
Yep.
But also other bands that did stuff on the movie as well, and features the original audio commentary that was on the Anchor Bay disc with the director Joe Giannone, who passed on since then, and Tony Fish, who also passed on, was on that commentary as well. So a lot of stuff on this.
Yeah, I mean, the special features, a lot of people were bitching about the sound quality where it was made by fans and stuff. But
a couple people were bitching.
Yeah, like you said, and I agree with this too, I can't really tell that much of difference between when it cuts in and out. You know, it's not as noticeable as people make it out to be.
Yeah. So, you know what? Hey, I recommend it. I say check it out. And for those that for those that don't have the DVD of the Anchor Bay, you'll want to get it to watch the movie anyway. At least you'll be able to watch the movie. I mean, it doesn't look that great, but still, I mean, it'll be a version of the movie to watch.
Yeah, and, I mean, like we said, it's got the documentaries and stuff. It's definitely ups the last one in special features content. So, yeah, get that now.
Yeah. So, that is that, and we appreciate everybody tuning in and the few people that joined us on the call-in portion.
Thank you.
Looks like a nutsack. So, until next week, when it'll be the 1st of Rocktober, Uncle Bill.
Yeah.
I'm the Cribbican Talking.
And I'm Uncle Bill.
And you've been listening to DeadPitch.com.